in our lesson this morning, and we'll pick it up again next week and learn another lesson from this wonderful chapter. But this is a story that we all need to come into today, because it's a story that some of us perhaps are one of the characters in that story right now. You say, how could that be? Well, when we learn more about who Jesus Christ is by seeing these stories, we learn, as Scripture says, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, He's the same today, He's the same forever. We learn how Jesus loves us today, right now, by learning how He loved people back in the Bible times. And not only do we learn how He loves us today by what He loved people back then, we learn also how He will love us in the future. It looks backwards, it looks to the present, and it looks to the future. And so we're going to see a story today of love. It's a love story. You might look at this story, you might say, how is this a love story? This seems like a very strange love story. But I'll tell you, it's a love story. And John, the one who wrote this story, one of Jesus' apostles, he was there, he saw it, he's telling us what he saw. He makes sure that we know it's a love story. Why? How do we know that? Well, look at John chapter 11 with me. We actually have some Bibles in the Lost and Found over there. So if you don't have, we have one right up here too. If you don't have a Bible, it would be great for us to follow along. And we can do that.
I find it interesting where it says, and Jesus said, behold how he lived. Then, at least to say, oh, how he loved.
We're gonna get there, Johnny. I think you're absolutely right. Now, I want you to look with me here at verse number 5. Verse number 5. This is a key to this entire story. We've got to understand this story. We've got to understand this verse right here. Now, it's a very simple verse. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. Now, that's going to be the fulcrum. That's going to be the pivot on which this entire story turns. So let's set the stage here, and we're just going to set the stage by taking just a few verses. Let's read the first 5 verses, shall we? We'll read the first 5 verses of John chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, that's essentially perfume with fragrant oil, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So just a little bit of introduction here. This is the people, the family, that Jesus loved. Therefore, his sisters, Martha and Mary, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They know that Jesus loves them. They know that Jesus loves this man named Lazarus. They know that Jesus loved Mary and Martha. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So here's this family in this small town, approximately 2 miles outside Jerusalem, 1.5 miles, 2 miles from Jerusalem. It would be a suburb of Jerusalem. Just like today in Minneapolis, you have suburbs. You have Bloomington, you have Maple Grove, you have Fridley, you have maybe Roseville, you have suburbs of a city. This was just a town outside the big city of Jerusalem. Now, where in Scripture do we also read about Mary and Martha? How do we know them from Scripture? We learn a little bit what this family is like. Turn over to Luke chapter 10. If you're in John, Luke is just the book right behind it, right in front of it. And so turn over to Luke chapter 10. Jesus, it turns out, has visited Mary and Martha and Lazarus before. He knows them. It says he loves them. So Luke in chapter 10, there's this very interesting little story. It starts in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he, that is Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. Okay, do we recognize these two people? Martha and Mary of Bethany. Now Mary also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now listen to this. But Martha was cumbered about. Whoa, what is that? That's an old word. What does that mean? It essentially means to be distracted. She was burdened. She was pressed. And some of you know what it is. You're about to have guests. You're about to have someone over. And suddenly you look around. The house is a mess. The dishes are piled up. You got to start cooking. The kids are running around, going like crazy. You say, oh man, this is going crazy. This was where Martha was. She was the hospitality one who was very concerned. She was cumbered about much serving and came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Now, you probably asked this question too, maybe not to Jesus, but you've been going crazy, working, getting ready for this big party, and here's your sister over here. She's not doing anything. She's sitting on the couch. And Martha runs to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you see Mary? She's just sitting there listening to you speak. She's just sitting there by herself. I'm the one doing all the work here. Don't you care? Here's what Jesus says. Or she says, bid her, therefore, that she help me. Tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus says to Mary, no, it's fine that Mary sit and listen to me speak. That's the necessary thing right now. These things of getting ready for to serve and to do other things, those are not a bad thing. Those are not evil. It's not wrong that you're doing those, but there's one thing that's important. It's listening to Jesus. It's listening to him. So we see a little bit about the character of these ladies. And now a certain man is sick. This is Lazarus. It's in Bethany. He is the brother of Mary and Martha. And now there is a problem. He is in very dangerous sickness as we move back to John chapter 11. And I want us to understand here today why this love story is one that is so strange is because we need to look at the next verse after John 11:5. Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now look at verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he stayed 2 days still in the same place where he was. I want you to paint this scene for just a moment. Here's Jesus. Someone comes, a messenger comes to him. They didn't have email back then. They didn't have cell phones. They sent a messenger. A messenger comes to you and says, hey, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick. He's on death's door. He's about to die. Will you come? Will you come heal him? And what does Jesus do? Jesus sits right where he is. He stays in the same spot for 2 days. And then guess what? Lazarus dies. His friend dies. You say, that doesn't sound very loving to me. Doesn't sound very loving to me. That doesn't make any sense. You say, Jesus, that you love this man over here, but now he's sick. You have the ability to go heal him. You have the ability to go take care of all this suffering and pain, and you sit here for 2 days. Say, that doesn't make sense. But friends, if we're going to take a look at this lesson a little more deeply, we're going to see that, in fact, it makes all the sense in the world. I'm going to title this lesson here, When Love Doesn't Make Sense. When love doesn't make sense. Because it's almost certain, very likely, that there are some here this morning that either have been in a position where they look up to heaven and say, God, I read that you love me, but it doesn't make any sense right now. Why am I going through this? There's maybe some that are sitting here today to say, hey, that's where I am right now. Things are happening in my life right now, and they don't make any sense to me. I don't get it at all. Or there'll be others of you who in the future, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe next year, will have an event that bowls you over. And you say, God, I can't figure it out. You say you love me, but I don't see it right now. And the question for us is this morning, when love doesn't make sense, are we going to walk forward as God told Martha in Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, if you believe, if you walk in faith, you will see the glory of God. So first of all, we're going to see here in this love that doesn't seem to make sense, we're going to see love desired. Love desired. You see, it starts, first of all, this love desired with peril. Peril, danger, a very hard situation. Lazarus is sick. And this isn't just a common cold. This isn't just a fever. This is a man lying on death's door. This is a man who's near the end of his life, and it doesn't look like he's going to make it. Now, you can imagine Martha. Martha was the practical one. Martha was the busy one. Martha was the servant. She was always looking around to be the hospitable one. Can't you imagine her bringing every single remedy that she could possibly bring, every single piece of medicine that she thought might fix Lazarus? She's bringing it to him. She's feeding it to him. She's trying to nurse him back to health. I picture Mary there. Mary was the one who was wanting to sit at the feet of Jesus. She was probably sitting there maybe in sorrow. Maybe she was sitting there in worry. Maybe she was sitting there in prayer. Wherever it was, you could just see inside this little home in Bethany where Lazarus is sick. And there was this great peril that led what I'm going to call very intentionally to prayer. Suddenly, an idea must have come to Martha and Mary. You know, our friend Jesus, he heals people. Our friend Jesus, we've heard all the stories about what he did to the blind man, what he did to the deaf man, what he did to the sick child, what he did to this other person over here. Why don't we call him? And then quickly, I'm sure a messenger was sent to where Jesus was. Jesus was outside of Jerusalem. He was down by the River Jordan. Now, he was perhaps a day's journey away in that time. It would have taken a day, likely, or more for the messenger to get there. The messenger approaches Jesus. You can just see him out of breath. He's got news. He says, hey, listen, the one you love, Lazarus, your friend Lazarus is sick. Martha and Mary sent me to you. They said, you can help. He's sick. Now, you know what that is? That's essentially prayer, isn't it? That's essentially what happens to us. Peril comes into our life. Danger comes into our life. We lose our job. Our child is sick. We are sick. Some tragedy strikes. One of our parents dies or a friend dies. We're in some dangerous position. We don't know if we're going to make it through it. We're at the depths of despair. And suddenly we call on Jesus. Say, Jesus, hey, I'm in trouble. You know, Scripture says to be anxious about nothing. Don't be worried about anything. But by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. But you know, so often we wait until we're at our wit's end. We wait until not at the beginning when we should have started praying. We wait until we're way down the road. And it, the last resort, that's exactly right. That's the best way to put it, Johnny. The last resort. And this is where Mary and Martha were. This was the Hail Mary, so to speak. This was the end game pass. Jesus, we are in trouble. There was prayer here. Now, there was peril. There was prayer. And look third here at a very interesting purpose. Look what Jesus says here. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. That was their message to him. Now look at verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It's a very interesting statement. He said, this sickness is not going to result in death. This is not the purpose of this. Is not for Lazarus' death. No, it's that God might be lifted up and glorified through Jesus Christ. Do you know this is the purpose that Jesus Christ had really in coming into the world? That God might be glorified? That God might be lifted up? That more people might see God and say, wow, you are wonderful. In John 17, we won't turn there now, but right before Jesus went to be crucified, he had a prayer to his Father that other people heard. John heard it. He was able to take down those words by the Holy Spirit. He was able to remember what Jesus Christ said in that prayer. And in this prayer, Jesus Christ said something very interesting. He said, Father, He said, glorify me with the glory that I had before the foundation of the world with you. You see, Jesus was in heaven before he ever came down to earth to be born as a baby. He was in glory. He was equal with God. He was God. He was the Son of God. And he came down to earth. He emptied himself of all that glory to be a man just like you and just like me, to take on our pain, to take on our suffering, to take on our death, to take on even our sin, though he had none of his own. And yet right before he dies, he prays to his Father and he says, Father, glorify me. Why? Because when Jesus Christ is glorified, God is glorified. When Jesus Christ is honored, when we go next door and we sing songs worshiping Jesus, saying, Jesus, you are wonderful, what are we doing? We're lifting up God. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the very image of God. He's the stamp of God. When we glorify Jesus Christ, we're glorifying God. And so he says here, this sickness, the purpose for this sickness is not simply for this death, for this sadness here, but it's that God might be lifted up. God might be seen as being more wonderful, more amazing. Now, this is something that we should take heart in. There's a temptation among certain folks to say that whenever someone is sick, well, it must relate back to something they did. God must be getting them. There might be a trial in your life. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe there's something else that comes in that seems just like an unavoidably bad thing. Someone, you have that friend, hey, like Job's friends. All right, confess. What'd you do? God's getting you, buddy. You better just repent right now. Now, let's be clear. Sometimes that may be true. You may be a horribly lazy employee. You may steal from your boss, and your boss may fire you. Now, guess what? It was your sin that caused you to get fired. But we understand that there are some things, there are some circumstances that God brings into our life, not because he's punishing us in a certain way, but that he might be glorified through that. You might lose your job, not because you were a bad employee, but because God wants to bring something good into your life as the result of what appears to be bad. And so Jesus says here, he was so fixed with the glory of God, he wanted God to be glorified through himself, that he said, do you see what this sickness is? It's that I might be glorified. It's that I might be honored. Now that's the purpose that Jesus had in Lazarus' suffering here. Now we see this love desired. It's Martha and Mary coming in and say, Lord, we need to see your love. We want you to spare us from this pain. We want you to heal our brother. We love our brother. You love our brother. Won't you do it? But very strangely, perhaps from a human perspective, we see love delayed. Love delayed. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, verse 5 tells us. When he had heard, therefore, that he, Lazarus, was sick, he stayed 2 days still in the same place where he was. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Doesn't make any sense. You can imagine if you are sitting at home and you're in pain, if you're sitting in a place where maybe you've injured yourself or you're sick and you need help, and you call out to the one who says that they love you, hey, can you come help me? I'm really in pain right now. And there's your husband perhaps sitting on the couch watching a ball game. Well, I'll get there in a couple days. I'll come help you in a couple days. You might look at them and say, well, that's not love. That's not love. What kind of love is that? And we see this here, and so we should ask ourselves why. We should see, first of all, that this love delayed was purposeful. It was purposeful. It's not that Jesus was sitting around waiting here because he was procrastinating. Now, I must confess, I, at my very innermost core, am a procrastinator. It's a bad character quality. I hope you don't replicate it. I was the one in school who would have a paper due, and suddenly at 11 o'clock the night before, the Word document would get opened up, and I'd start hammering away on that keyboard. It was stupid, okay? Don't do that. I see some of you who are still in school. Start working ahead of time, please. It just is so much better. Jesus didn't have a character flaw that made him say, all right, you know what? I just don't feel like going. I don't feel like making the day's trip. It's not worth it to me. No, this was intentional. He had a purpose behind it. He waited 2 days, even though he knew his best friend was dying. Best friend, one of his friends, perhaps would be a better way to put it, one of his dear friends who he loved was dying. It was purposeful. But I want us to see, secondly, that this love delayed was painful. It was painful. You know, perhaps it's easy for us to look at Mary and Martha and say, well, your suffering wasn't all that bad. Jesus came and raised your brother from the dead. He said, hey, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came out. We know the end of the story. It's not too bad. But you see, Mary and Martha didn't know the end of the story when they were dealing with this pain and suffering. Let's look ahead and see it at the pain of this love delayed. And we're going to start in verse 7 where we left off, and we'll read a few more verses. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. They said they wanted to kill you. And goest thou thither again? You really want to go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he. And after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. How do you know if you're sick and you're sleeping? Hey, that's a good thing. We want you to sleep. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Now look at verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Jesus waited until he was dead. Think about that. Jesus didn't wait till the last minute, procrastinate, say, okay, I'm going to jump in and save the day. I'm going to go touch him and heal him, and he's going to be good. No, Jesus waited, and then he said to his disciples, hey, let's go. He's dead. He's dead. Now I can go. Wow, it was intentional. It was purposeful. And look what he says in verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. I'm happy about that. I'm happy that I let him die. That's a good thing. Why? To the intent you may believe. All right, there's a clue. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. This was a dangerous journey. His friends, the people in Jerusalem, the people around Jerusalem, had already wanted to kill him. They'd already wanted to stone him. And Jesus was going right back into the teeth, so to speak, of the lion. Then when Jesus came, now listen to this, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So how did the Jewish people prepare someone for burial? When someone dies today, they take him, they embalm him, they remove certain, obviously, parts of him, and they will do the makeup on him. They'll stick him out in the maybe after a week, we'll have the funeral, they'll open casket, then they'll take him and put him in the ground in a big vault, in a big casket. Oh no, not the Jews. Person, you can imagine a climate which was very hot, which was very sticky, muggy. What would happen to a dead body? That thing would start decaying quick. You know what they would do? They might bury him the same day. They might take him and wrap him up. They would wrap him up, almost like mummify him. They'd stick him in a hole, in a cave, so to speak. They'd roll a stone over that hole, and that's where he was buried. Lazarus had been lying in there for 4 days. This was not something that he had just been knocked out for a little bit. He was gone 4 days when Jesus showed up. By the way, can you imagine how much Mary and Martha must have stood at that road that comes into Bethany looking for Jesus? Oh, we sent a messenger to him days ago. Surely he's going to come right away when he hears. Surely he's going to be coming down that road. We're going to see him. We're going to see him coming with his disciples. We'll race. Hopefully Lazarus won't be dead yet. Oh, he's coming. He's got to come. 4 days of that. 4 days waiting. No Jesus. And then their brother is now, by this time, of course, dead. And one question is just eating away at them. What question would you ask Jesus? What question would you ask Jesus if you had sent a messenger and said, hey, my brother is sick? What question have you asked? When you say, God, will you spare him? Don't let him die. Don't make me go through that pain and suffering. God, please don't do that. Please give me my job back. Please do this for me. and you don't see an answer. Jesus doesn't come. What question do you ask? Why? Why? You say you love me. Why didn't you? Why did that person die? I asked you not to let him die, and he did. Do you know this was essentially the question that Mary and Martha were asking? Let's keep on going. Look at verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, now listen to this, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. What she's saying to him, hey Lord, if you had only come, he wouldn't be dead. Isn't that what we say? Hey Lord, if you'd only answered my prayer, this wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened. Now skip ahead a little bit to what Mary said. Look at verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master, that Jesus, is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she, that's Mary, heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Who asked the same question? Martha. Don't you think that means they had been talking about it? Can't you imagine for those 4 days when Lazarus was lying in the grave, they're saying, man, where's Jesus? Can you believe it? Jesus didn't come. We asked for him. We prayed that he'd come. We sent him a messenger. Can you believe it? He didn't come. That's the question that we often ask, isn't it, in our homes, in our hearts, in our minds. God, where were you? Where were you when this tragedy took place? Where were you when this pain entered? See, friends, this was very painful. This was their brother. This was someone they loved. This is someone they knew Jesus loved. And they watched him die. They watched him die. It's a very painful thing to see someone die. It's a very painful thing to see someone you love die. And friends, it must be a very painful thing to die. Lazarus died. He was dead. There's a lot of pain. So you see, the love delayed was purposeful. The love delayed was painful. It actually caused pain to Mary and Martha. And third, it was perplexing. Lord, why? If you had only been here, if you had only been here, this wouldn't have happened. Now, friends, there's pain that happens in all of our lives. There's pain that some of you are experiencing this morning. There's pain that some of you will experience tomorrow. There's pain that you look back to in your life. And whether it's physical pain, whether it's emotional pain, whether it's mental pain, whatever it is, whatever kind of pain you've experienced, the question is to look upward and say, God, why? Why did this person abuse me like that? Why did he do that to me like that? Why did my boss treat me like that? Why is my body failing me? Why is cancer ravaging me? You, as parents, feel that when you look at your own children. Sometimes your children cause you such pain as you see them walk away from the Lord, you see them go their own way, you see them reject and rebel against you, and you say, why, Lord? I've prayed for these children day after day after day. Why are they turning away from me? You say, Lord, all these things are coming into my life and I feel totally out of control. I'm spiraling out of control and I've been praying to you and all I've been sensing is delay, 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 delay. I'm in a pit and I can't get out. Why? Why? Now, friends, what's our answer when love doesn't make sense? What's our response to be when we look at God and we say, you're not coming, you're not answering my prayer, you're not doing what I've been pleading with you to do? Why? Well, this story, I think, provides us with a wonderful answer. And that answer here is love demonstrated. Love demonstrated. You see, John wants to make sure that we know that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Why? Because what Jesus did didn't make sense. That's why. He wants to make sure we know that he did love them, because when we read that he sat there for 2 days instead of going to Lazarus, we say, wow, that's weird. That's strange. Maybe he didn't love them. No, he did. And friends, when Jesus gets there, we're going to see how his love is displayed and demonstrated toward these two ladies, Martha and Mary, and then how his love is displayed to Lazarus himself, that causes the Jews that were around to say, behold how he loved him, and then how his love was displayed to the Jews themselves, some of whom believed on him. First of all, let's see here, love is demonstrated in what I'm going to call a stirring. Let's look at what Scripture says Jesus experienced here. Look at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Groaned in the spirit. What does that mean? It's a very interesting word. The word, it paints a picture. It really means essentially like a horse snorting. Now you can imagine a horse that is angry, that is upset, and that thing is just going to be snorting. It's going to be so indignant, mad. You say, well, that doesn't sound much like Jesus. This word, same word is used when at other times in the old King James version, it said that Jesus straightly charged someone. He strictly warned them. You say, wow, that sounds stern. Now, Scripture says that Jesus groaned in his very innermost being. There was this deep, deep emotion that he felt from his very core. And it was emotion that was more like indignation, at least from what this Greek word suggests. Now, why? Why? Well, two possibilities have been suggested. I think it could have even been a combination of both of them. One is that Jesus was looking at people who were saying to him, why? What's wrong with you, Jesus? What's wrong with you? Martha comes and says, hey, Lord, if you had been here, my brother hadn't died. Why? Mary comes to him and says, hey, Lord, essentially, do you not love us? If you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't be crying right now if you had come earlier. Why'd you wait? And there's a sense in which the purposes of God were being questioned. The love of God was being questioned. These people were saying to him, they didn't understand that this sickness was for the glory of God. And so they look at Jesus and they say, why? And Jesus is, from his very innermost being, is, if you will, upset. He's saying, don't you understand that I do love you? Don't you understand? Friends, our doubt is something that will stir the heart of Jesus Christ, because his heart is one of love. His purposes need not be questioned by us. He groaned in the spirit. And it also says here that he was troubled. And the idea here is that he actually troubled himself. The picture is, if you have a big pot of water and you take a big spoon and you just start stirring up that pot, stirring up the liquid in it. Jesus' emotions were just being stirred, Scripture says here. Now there's a difference. You know what typically happens when your emotions get stirred up? If you go into a lake with a sandy sediment bottom and you take a big spoon and you start going like this, or you take your foot and you start swirling up the water, what gets caught up in that water? Mud, dirt. That often happens in our life. When we get stirred up, we get irritated. We get frustrated. We get angry. But you see, Jesus didn't have any of that sediment of sin down at the bottom of his life. He was in a perfectly pure water. And so when his emotions get stirred up like that, there just flows out this wonderful compassion, flows out this wonderful love from Jesus Christ. And then you see what happens here. There's more questioning of him. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then verse 35, one of the most beautiful verses in all of Scripture. Jesus wept. Jesus, his love was demonstrated not just in the stirring of emotions that he felt, as he was being questioned, and as he stared death straight in the face, he saw his own death coming up. He saw death being caused by sin and by the ravages of evil and of Satan's work in the world, and he just starts getting indignant. His emotions become stirred, and then he looks around at the people who are in suffering, the people who are in pain as the result of this sin and death, his friend Mary, who he loved, his friend Martha, who he loved, weeping and wailing, and he wept. Now, the word that's used here for wept is not the kind of weeping that they were doing. The weeping and wailing that Mary was doing and the Jews were doing was this howling, was this shrieking, was this very loud crying. The idea here is that Jesus just spontaneously started crying. You know, sometimes we're a little bit scared of emotions in our culture. We want to keep everything tamped down. Oh, don't show any emotion. Emotion is weakness. Weeping, yeah, big men, strong men don't cry. Well, let me tell you, are you going to call Jesus someone weak? You want to think he was a weakling? He cried. He wept when he saw. Why? Because his love was demonstrated not just in stirring, but also in sympathy. Jesus looked at these people in their suffering. He loved them. And in their pain, he felt pain. And I'll never forget when I went to the hospital shortly after my friend, our friend, Paul Gilmer passed away. It's a little more than a year ago. He was my age. Awful, horribly sad story. A wife who he had just recently married. She was so broken. I'll never forget. I went into that hospital room. He was still there laying in that bed, in that hospital bed where he'd breathed his last. His wife was just clinging to him still. And in broken in such pain, it was just amazing. When Scripture says, weep with them that weep, we were all just weeping. It was just, it was like the floodgates were opened. And I'm not very much of a weeping, but I'm not very much of an outwardly emotional person, but this, the floodgates, because this sympathy, these emotions, as we look around at the suffering of others, Jesus wept. Now friends, there's a wonderful lesson there. But if you want to know the love of Jesus in your pain that you're feeling right now, you should know that He's feeling your pain. That when you are grieved as one of His children, He is grieved. We are not one, Hebrews says, that we do not have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, with our emotions, with our pain. No, why? Because He felt our pain. Scripture says that He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He knew grief. So I don't care what pain you're experiencing today or you will experience in the weeks and months ahead. Come back to this one simple verse, Jesus wept, and know that He cares about your pain. He's feeling your pain. He's living your pain. He knows your pain. Friend, what an incredible comfort that is to know that Jesus wept. But you see, His love is demonstrated not just in stirring, not just in sympathy, but third, and what I'm going to say is sight. Giving. You see, what did Jesus do? We'll look at it more next week, but He went to that tomb. He said, Lazarus, you who have been in there for 4 days, come forth. And Lazarus walks out of that tomb alive. Now, Jesus has said something very interesting, hasn't He, to Martha. Jesus says in verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? You see, friends, what is our responsibility when love doesn't make sense, when we're in the cauldron of pain, when we're in suffering? Jesus says, won't you believe? Don't you know that if you believe in me through your pain, you're going to see my purpose brought forth, which is the glory of God, Jesus Christ to be lifted up and glorified? And friend, it's the testimony of people sitting here in this room, and it's my testimony here today, that in the hour of my deepest pain, that it was through my worst pain that I have seen most the glory of God revealed in my life. It is through the worst suffering in my life that I have drawn most close to God. Friend, you can take look at your pain, your suffering, you can fight against it, you can rail against it, you say, God, why me? Why now? Why aren't you answering my prayer? Or you can look to Him by faith and say, God, this is for your purpose. This is for your glory. This is so that I can see more of you. This is so that I can feel more of your love. And so, God, I'm just going to look ahead. You've got something in it. I believe that this is for the glory of God. And friend, when God brings you through that pain, when He brings you through that valley, it's going to be the experience of His glory that you hadn't had before. Friends, that is where the devil wants us to be. In depression, in discouragement, in despair, in looking up and shaking our fist at God and refusing to understand why. And Jesus says, haven't I told you that if you just believe in this pain, believe in this suffering, believe in this trial, I will bring you through it. I love what F.B. Meyer said, the great preacher. He said, it is in the valley that we exchange the word he for thou. Thou art with me. You see, friends, it is at your deepest pain that God wants to bring you through it and show you that His love does make sense because you're closer to God. I think probably the area of my life, the time in my life of the greatest pain was only a couple years ago. My father passed away from cancer. We sat and we watched not only his decline over 2 years, giving into that cancer, but also we watched him die. It was very, very pain. It's pain that still, at times, does not escape. My mother and others of our family know that pain. But friends, it's been through that pain over the last 2 years that God has worked in our family. So it through that pain over the last 2 years that God has worked in me, I wouldn't be where I was today without that pain. Friends, if only we would look at our pain this morning and hear that word of Jesus, if thou wouldest believe, you would see the glory of God. Friends, love doesn't always make sense. Christ's love doesn't always make sense. Sometimes even in our prayer, it seems that love is delayed. But remember that His love is demonstrated, is being demonstrated right now because in your pain, He feels your pain. And one day He wants to give sight, a greater vision of the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love. Lord, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Lord, no one can. We thank You for that love. And we ask, Lord, for those that are suffering in pain today or who may be suffering in pain in the future, Father, would You bring them through it? To see the vision of the glory of God, to draw them closer to Yourself through that pain. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.